Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure. Enjoy! Kid Craddock in the morning.
Got an email from somebody on the show at midnight last night.
Really? Wasn't me. I was asleep.
Wasn't Kelly.
I'm pretty sure I was asleep at midnight.
Yeah. I was asleep as well, and I didn't get this email until this morning.
Did I get the email? I haven't checked my inbox.
No.
Oh.
I think little Jenna Owens wanted somebody to talk to.
Aww.
This is how the email started.
Dear JC.
Dear
JC.
It's probably serious, so she's
I am laying in my bed naked.
No. You know, we blog for the show of things going on in our lives, and I just thought that I would. We normally don't send it to each other, but I thought I'd send it to him.
A little heads up.
Come on.
Yeah, a little heads up.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how it started, and I'll let Jenna take over. It starts with, not even Dear JC, by the way.
Hey.
How dare you, Jenna?
No, stop.
What'd you get for a greeting? Anything?
No.
What was the subject line? What was the subject line?
Subject line. Stuff.
Okay.
All right. It starts with, these are the kind of days I dread going to work. It's midnight. I'm exhausted. But my heart is wide awake because it's just been shattered into a million pieces.
Uh-oh.
And I'm hooked. I'm going to keep on reading on this bad boy.
Yeah. Well, I have a really long blog that follows that. But no, my relationship is over.
Man, you just
got back on track.
It's only been like a month, maybe two, right?
You just started calling him boyfriend.
Yeah.
So this is a guy you've been on and off.
Pining over.
Yeah, pining over and on and off with for what, two and a half years?
Well, I think I was more invested, you know.
In your mind.
Before he was. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but yeah, someone I've been, like a close friend. Yeah, someone it's been a part of my life for a long time.
And you guys met, what, was it just mutual friends, and then you guys saw each other at the gym all the time, and then it just blossomed into this attraction.
Yeah, he wasn't ready for a relationship, and I just knew from the first time I saw him that I wanted a relationship, and so after all this time, it finally kind of came down to, I want to be with you.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm going to give it a go.
And he's the one that said that.
Yeah.
He finally realized, oh my goodness, I might lose this girl, and she's pretty cool, and I really want to have this work, so he told you, I want to be with you.
Yeah.
Okay. And it went well, because y'all took some trips and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we actually have one coming up. I don't think that's going to...
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. It's when do you break up? When you have plans like that?
When's the trip?
Next weekend.
Oh, man.
And I bought the plane ticket.
Refundable?
So.
Or?
I don't know. I mean,
and now
on,
the airlines make
it
so difficult. You can't just give it to somebody.
Dude, you can.
Else.
No, you can't. You have to get a credit.
I don't. I mean, honestly, I don't care about that.
We digress.
I know.
It's not about your heart. It's about the money.
Is it something that happened just last night?
It just, you know, in all honesty, it's like I don't want to abuse this platform. We have a unique job when it comes to dealing with really painful personal things, because sometimes, I mean, I have the tendency to not want to talk about them. You know, I'll allude to it that I'm sad, but it's hard. It's hard to just, like, when you're kind of humiliated or when you fail at something, it's very hard to put it out there. But I kind of feel like maybe it'll help instead of keeping it bottled in, you know, and maybe other girls can relate to it, because I'm just kind of bewildered by what has happened, because it just, I don't know, as a girl, maybe you guys don't feel this way. I know girls want reasons, but I want more than a reason. It's more like it just doesn't make any sense to me why, you know, this person that I know so well and have been so close to, and I seriously am like...
You think you know him?
No. I do.
But you know his personality, and you knew he was never going to go there with you.
I do.
But you decided to settle.
But he does go there. And then
but he doesn't
something
stay
happens
there.
That he goes away, you know? And I can't, I think it's just, my thoughts are all kind of jumbled, you know? So I could, you know, and I'm obviously not doing okay. And this isn't going to be how it's been in times past when
Do you specifically want to tell us what happened or no?
Well,
I'm not pressuring you. I'm just
honesty,
asking.
There wasn't one significant moment that was like, you know.
Just little things.
Like a fight. It's just that I've been traveling a lot for work and we've been spending less and less time together and, you know, kind of arguing, and it hasn't been, you know, good.
And this is the honeymoon period. See,
if you're
that negative for early on in a relationship, I knew a girl was dating a guy 2 months in. They were in couples therapy in 2 months.
That's a bar. You need to
They're
be in a bar.
Together, obviously.
Talking to the bartender.
I'm like, I am sorry. Yeah. If it's that negative off the bat, it's such a struggle.
And
this ain't right.
Obviously, I mean, I'm not that crazy of a person that I'm like,
but it's never been smooth sailing. It's never been smooth sailing.
What's so hard is when it was great, it's really great for me. And I think I would never tolerate being miserable, you know, or someone not treating me how I feel like I, you know, should be treated if I'm not happy. I would never tolerate that with anyone, but it's just that I never knew it was possible because I'm so cynical to feel the way that I do about this person. I never knew it was possible to feel that way about someone, and I've been so consistent with the way that I feel, and it's like a light switch for this person, you know, like they really do feel it and show it, but then they just decide,
turn it off.
I'm not capable. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not capable of, I don't know, and I don't know what that means. It either means you don't care enough, or it's almost like he never wants me more than when I'm out of his life. And then when he has
me, then he doesn't.
That's a man.
That's what guys do.
That's a man. Chasing
him. No, see, what a real man should do is he should envision it, not let it happen. Envision not having her in your life. And then you realize.
But he did that before, and then he decided he didn't like it.
And I'm told that it's, you know, it's, I know that girls, we sacrifice a lot more for relationships, you know, that it's not always smooth sailing, and we're fine doing
yeah,
that.
I'd agree
but,
with that.
Yeah.
You know, he just says he's incapable of, you know, being like a selfless boyfriend. And I can respect that, you know, but why did you come back to me and tell me you were? You know, I think it's not just that we tried it once and then it didn't work. It's that he repeatedly comes back like, I can do this. And then I just feel so like given up on kind of because once like he thinks that there's no compromise isn't necessary and that a relationship should be easy. And that's kind of mind blowing to me because I'm like any of you that have been in a relationship know that. When you both work a lot and don't see each other, like, it's a lot of work. And why? What's so wrong with my self-worth that I'm, like, willing to, you know, like, try it and stick with it when things get tough? Like, when something gets hard, I don't want to quit on it. I want to
make it work.
And, you know, because what it comes down to is, like, are you fine with me, like, never being in your life again? Because that's what it comes down to. Like, you would rather not do this.
Well, what you've trained them to believe is that you tell them I'm not going to be in your life. Mm-hmm. If this happens again, mm-hmm. and then he sees that as a challenge, he seems like he likes a challenge, and then he takes that challenge, and then he gets you back.
But at what point does it shouldn't be a game anymore?
It's not a game. It's up to you to cut it off.
Yeah.
Now it's on you because it's happened mm-hmm. 2-3 times.
No,
so now
I know.
It's on you.
I know it's on me because I know.
Don't be Carucci. Don't you go Carucci.
Don't Carucci on us, Jenna.
You gotta understand, though, I'm not, like, doormat and allows it. I'm the one that's been fighting
you go back.
It. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
You go back.
Well, there's no going back.
I'm telling
back.
You right now, if you go back, you are, from this day forward, going to be known to me as Carucci.
That's the thing, though. I would never, I mean, I've dated people that kind of half-ass it, and then I'm like, no, I'm not going to do this, and then I never go back again. It's just that... When it's good, it's been better than any relationship for me.
Well, you know? Good.
When it's good for just a short period of time,
Well, what do you call it? This is all I want to know.
Okay.
This isn't like a particular, like, what's the reason?
Right,
it's just that I feel like I cannot wrap my head around the psychology of, like, how you can. I feel like feelings don't come and go and they're not fleeting. Like, I know you fall out of love with people and I know you can randomly fall in love with a friend, but it does not make any sense to me. I just can't comprehend how you can so passionately care about someone and then wake up one day and not. And just can't explain it. Like, I just don't feel that way anymore.
I think we need
when there was, like, future planning. Like, I just don't understand how guys can just, like, wall up, lights out, that's it.
That's not just a guy thing. We do that, too.
Yeah, we need something to work
on. Back and forth.
You know, we need like, a project. We need, like, if it's not going good, we can work and try and make it better. You know what I'm saying? Then when it's all good, I don't know. I don't know if we get bored, complacent. Maybe that's what it is. But we need something to kind of work. I do. I know I do. I can't speak for all guys. But we need something to kind of work toward. You know? Does that make sense to you?
I just think your guys' chemistry is not aligned. I don't think he's as much as you guys loved each other and as much as you guys got along.
Oh, no, he doesn't. He doesn't love me. I mean, obviously.
Well, you can't say that. You can't say that.
I can say that.
He might.
No, he doesn't.
It all just comes down to...
He said that?
He doesn't.
He said that?
Did he say that?
You're just guessing that.
No.
That might be the limit to how he can express love.
Yeah.
It might be his limit.
Yeah, he said that he's just not
feeling it.
A feeling person. Like, no, not an emotional person.
That's his out every time, though, Jenna. That was his out every time.
I know, and that's what doesn't make sense to me, because I see glimpses of it, and then you go away. So
but
it's
he's
like,
told you who he is.
Yeah.
But
he's
it's told you.
It's one or the other.
You
either really do love someone and care, and you get scared, and you're not capable, or you're just lying.
No, he's told you. He's not lying. He's flat out told you, I am incapable of going there with
Believe
you.
Believe
him. And that's why you guys aren't there.
You just don't want to hear that.
But I mean, Kelly, as a woman, incapable is just another word for not willing.
Some people, everybody's different, Jenna. You can't, because you feel certain ways, you can't expect everybody to have those same feelings.
And I agree.
And he is just emotionally shut off.
He was like, I can never express emotion how you do. But I'm like, I'm not asking for that.
Are you?
No. I think a relationship should be about, like, sharing in each other's lives. You know, there is a lot of compromise. I mean, that's where the issue is. Like, this isn't like you just keep, you know, I think he wants to just continue living his life, how he lives it, doing his thing, status quo. And when I fit into it,
exactly,
then that's great.
That's a guy,
and that's what he's told you.
That's not every guy.
And I don't need 24/7. I'm not one of those that has to, you know, like, there's trust there. There's not like we have to talk every 5 minutes or spend every day together. It's quite healthy in the amount of time, but it's just like that, you know, allowing yourself to be emotionally invested. Like, you should want to.
He should want to.
Yeah, and that's what's so painful for me right now to get through, is someone that knows me so well for so long that it's like they keep saying these things and future planning, and then out of nowhere they just withdraw. It's like 100 to 0.
I've heard the same thing about me. So I've heard the same thing about me from my girlfriend that I have right now. But I'll stop, but then I'll kind of go back, because it might be an age thing too, because I haven't met this dude, but I'm guessing I'm older than he is.
Yeah.
But I used to be like that dude. I was like, no, I'm gonna go the other way, because either A, I got tired of there was no hunt in front of me, because a guy loves to hunt.
Yes,
he does.
Was
no challenge, or you know, just for whatever reason, I changed my damn mind. I'm a guy, and I changed my mind. I'm just not interested in that anymore. Whatever it is. And then I just started being Al. I started being about me all of a sudden. And then the girl can't understand it. We were so in love yesterday, and now you don't want anything. Well, I'm sorry. You know, that book, He's Not That Into You, that's just hard truth, I guess. Right, Kelly?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, but guys do that. If there's no hunt in front of them, if there's nothing there's no carrot dangling in front of their face.
If a man wants you, He will stop.
He will get you.
Nothing
and that's
to have
it's like
you.
We all make you. Time for the things we want
It'll show
to
you.
Do.
My girlfriend said that about me. You're always at this bar. You're always doing this. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I change.
Okay.
But
then you go back.
But I go back. Because
so you have to find a woman who's willing to put up with
your stuff, and you're willing to put up with her stuff.
You're not willing to
stuff.
Put up with his stuff. There is a woman out there that will put up with him, and it works. It's just not you.
And it's not going to be.
And he's not going to change. Exactly, he can change for a minute, but he's going to go back.
I think it's just, you guys know that I'm pretty stubborn, and I'm not a doormat normally. You know,
I want to say you are.
It's just because I only complain. You know, we only complain to each other about the bad. We don't brag about the good, but you know, it's really hard because I think it's more of a flaw with me. Like, I'm a saver, and it's like I see, you know, I like adore this person, and I see, you know, the potential, but it's like, how long, you know, when I was, you know, 10 years ago, I'd be a hell of a lot more patient with letting someone get there. But it's like, at this age, it's like, how, you know,
yeah,
how have
less
I spent
less.
So much time
oh, yeah.
on something that obviously just isn't there.
Let's bring in another person.
Another
man to get his perspective.
That's very vague.
Because
another human.
Al's a player, and he's.
And what's so painful?
We get that.
I know what it means, and Al settled down, because when you find a person that's worth not losing, you do put the effort in.
It's not always about
where you are in your life.
Yeah, it's like, not about. I'm tired of playing it personally
because I was alone and heartbroken on my birthday, and I was, and that was it. And he came back to me and worked very hard. And I said, "Where did that person go?" And he said, I just don't think that, you know, was really me.
And
that
see,
was me then, and now I'm not that way. And I'm like, well, what is it?
Because you were a challenge at that point. It was about winning you back.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got you back,
but
and then the chase
is over.
Do you
understand how worthless that makes me
feel? I know.
It's the hardest thing in the world to do, but you cannot take that personally. That's more about him than it is about you.
It is absolutely him,
Jenna. I have to take
it personally
when I have, like, a life, you know, envisioned in the near future of spending with someone. You know what I mean? And it's...
And I just can't put myself into his shoes because that's, I don't understand how he can treat you that way.
Well, you.
I just don't understand.
Upsetting as someone I've known for so long, it's like this is how you feel that I,
right?
Like, that this is all I deserve.
I don't get how guys can draw girls in, and get you into that in love place.
You don't understand then, that. How long have you been a guy?
And then he has because I just don't get it.
Because he's so he.
He's been in the same relationship.
Yeah,
he's been in the same relationship.
He's never played the game in his 20s. When your prime game playing days, yeah, you were in a committed
relationship.
That's what it is. You play the game. That's why you don't understand. Girls
but,
that you meet, you know, randomly, you don't play the game with someone that has been so genuine and a close friend for this long.
I passed on that game because I met a girl I was treating Kinsey the way he was treating you, Jenna, and I didn't want to pull away. Because if you genuinely love a girl, why would you want to hurt her once, twice,
three times? Men do it all the time,
dude. Men do it all the time.
I know.
I understand you're not from that world, but I see it, you know,
men
all
do
the
it
time.
To really decent, great girls.
I know.
Guys, why?
Yeah. But why?
It's just the male, it's just the man's, it's biological.
It's instinct. I swear to you it is.
Let's find out, like, Gary, you used to be that guy who would like to play the games and... Until you met the right woman.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my saying was, you know, I'm going to date until I find the girl that is willing to change everything to be exactly with me. And I would date, and as soon as something went wrong, you know, we were in couples therapy at 2 months. It was, you know, sorry, not going to work out. So very kind of calculated about who I dated. And, you know, when it wasn't right, it was over. Kind of turned on, turned off, but. When I met my wife, I mean, it was really kind of crazy because I wasn't even really looking. It's kind of cliche, but it's true. And we went out just as friends. And, you know, it was really interesting. Within about a week or two, I realized that, man, I would change anything for this girl.
And that's,
you know, and it really at that moment, not even expecting it, I shut everything down. And, you know, 15 years later, we're married and just as happy as we could ever be. And so, you know, one thing I would just, you know, encourage you is that there are guys out there, you know, there are relationships like that, but it's always about, you know, willingness to sacrifice for that other person.
See, here's the thing. Everything you're saying is making Jenna feel worse.
No, it shouldn't.
No, it is, because she's taking it personally. No. She's saying, I'm not worthy of the man I love, changing everything like this man was willing to do for
his
wife.
Here's what Gary's trying to say.
Especially when he told me what Gary said.
No, here's what it is.
Coming back saying, I realize, like, I can do this. I can do this. I know that I can. And then saying, never mind, I can't.
But some men are not programmed that way. Some men, they'll be 50, 60, 70 years old, and they're never in a committed relationship. There's some part of them that can't go there. You just happen to fall in love with one of those guys.
Yeah, and that could
never.
But you know, and you know how
I
look at it is, I was like, I know maybe this wouldn't have worked out, and I wanted to get. You have to get to a point that you're okay with them being with someone else, you know. And all I can think about is like that it is me, you know, that it's like he is capable because I've seen glimpses of it, but that it's going to be
for
with
a minute.
Someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You're
capable
for
a minute.
Any guy is capable of a good relationship for about a day, a week, or you know, a couple of months. But he did you a favor. He showed you after 3 or 4 months, or well, I don't know how long it was.
2 years.
He showed you.
He's told you a few times.
He told you, and he's shown you.
Then
he did you a favor.
No, doing me a favor is if you're not sure, don't come back.
It'll be a favor for you down the road. You don't see it as a favor.
I know,
now.
But I hate that.
And I will tell you this,
know,
Jenna.
Like, I know, but I know that if this is how it would be, that it wouldn't work, and that I'll be better off in the long run. You know, I understand that. You know, I know I can think 10 years from now. Of course, I get that element of it.
Because I guarantee
it's
you.
That I'm not worth 100%.
He will try again.
You're worth
100%
to somebody.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
you
will.
Oh, he will.
Jenna, please.
He will try again.
He'll
trust
get,
me.
You don't see
he'll
that.
Drunk,
he'll be back around
he'll get drunk
in a month.
Because he knows he can get you.
I'm in a lot of pain right now, but I feel differently now. You know, what after trying it like this, it's like, I feel differently.
That's even better because
gotta,
that's more of a challenge.
Get him out
now.
Of your life.
Telling you he's going to show up in the rain on your doorstep.
Mm-hmm.
No,
Kelly, would you delete his number and email and all that? Would you just completely?
No.
No, but this is the thing.
I wouldn't because that's me. I would.
Okay. I'm not. I don't have a tendency text. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't. It's not about that. Like, I don't have a tendency to text drunkenly and ask questions or.
Yeah.
You know, no, it's just that our lives had started to really go together. You know, like I have things there and like. You know, just like this was a dating
situation.
Ain't
nothing at that house worth you going through more pain, I'll tell you that.
He just is not ready, I don't think he's...
I've left stuff over girls' house.
I don't know when he's going to be ready, but he's not ready.
You've got this dream in your head.
He's
going to
be ready when he finds the right person.
Let's get some...
No, see, you're taking it personally.
Don't take it personally. Let's get some girl power up in here. Rachel?
Hey.
Help your girlfriend.
Okay, I am going round and round with this right now with my best friend, and I just had to call and tell you, no offense, but I just kind of resent the fact that this is being described as like a just a man thing. Like,
yeah.
You are dating a boy. A man does not act like that. A man knows how to treat a woman. He knows when he's in love, and he knows how you deserve to be treated. He knows how to act in a relationship. This is not a cop out. This is not a.
I'll give you that.
Okay, so
well,
it's semantics.
Like that, you know. Let's just, you know, get over it and find a better. No, that's
okay. It's a
boy.
Male thing
that is
then.
Boy behavior.
Okay, we'll change the word from man
no,
to
I'll
male.
Say every man does
it. I agree
is,
with you.
But I'm not saying every man.
She's
there's always exceptions.
She's saying,
but
man. I get
no,
what she's,
not a,
she's saying. It's
I'm
an
saying.
Emotionally immature kind of behavior.
Right.
It's very immature behavior, and I'm just saying, you know, there. I think maybe that there is a point when these boys decide. Hey, that's ridiculous. I don't know why I was acting like that. And maybe it's like you said, JC, when you meet that woman that makes it worth it to you or changes your mind, you think, wow, I need to get it together, you know? But, like, there are men out there that, you know, aren't like that and never would treat a woman like that. And I just want, like you said, you take it personally. I have so been there. I think every woman listening right now has been there. But it's not you. It's them. And it's like you said, you can't change them. Just, I mean, remember that you are worth it. You know, and there are men out there that are going to treat you the way you deserve to be treated.
Trust and there's some me. Men that never mature and, to and this,
yeah,
level.
Yeah,
and
they stay
maturity.
Boys.
In
yeah,
this instance,
right.
Jenna, if he says, it's not you, it's me, he is absolutely 100% right. It is.
I just feel like.
It is totally him.
It's like so disposable, you know.
Yeah. It'll be fine. There's like 10,000 dudes that want to go on a date with you now, so.
Yeah, call us up.
I don't say that.
Oh. Does it make me, you can have anyone you want. Well, no.
Well, out of those 10,000, there might be one that'll work out. Jenna, you'll be fine. Just don't go back to it, please.
I know. I,
as your friend. As your midnight confidant.
Option. Yeah. I know. No, I just don't want it to come across like he's was treating me poorly. It's just that he's
no,
not
he wasn't.
Capable of.
It just, the chemistry was not there.
The chemistry was there for me.
For you, it was.
I've never been more attracted to anyone. And there that goes.
Boy, that takes me back to high school. Man, I was in love with him. Why can't he love me like I love him?
I know. I've been there. And well, I think we all been there.
Kelly, Al, JC, and Jenna are back. The Kid Credit Morning Show.
Let's get ready for school. Let's get ready for school. Let's get ready for school.
Good morning, class. Welcome to your first day of the new school year. My name is Miss Raspberry.
Good morning, Mrs. Raspberry.
No, that's Miss Raspberry. As you can see, what I wrote on the chalkboard. Oh, let me just turn around and see all of your bright, shiny faces. Oh, my God. Is this some kind of sick joke or something?
What?
Why is it every single bright, shiny face I see was in my class last year?
Well, Mrs. Raspberry, according to the memo, which I have a cousin named Memo, from the Parent Teacher Association that me mother subscribes to, you were promoted to the fourth grade. Oh. And so were we. So I guess we all get to celebrate our promotion together. Yay!
Wait, I specifically requested that none of you were put in my class. So there must have been some horrible misunderstanding. I need to sit down before I pass out.
Well, Mrs. Raspberry.
What is it, Shannon?
If you do pass out, just know that I am prepared and, oh, so excited about the opportunity to give you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Yeah, we learned that last year.
I've never done it before, but I learned it on that episode of Punky Brewster where Punky and Cherry are playing hide-and-seek, and Cherry hides in a broken refrigerator and loses too much oxygen, and Punky saves her life. She's a hero. I can be your hero, Mrs. Raspberry, and you can give me a medal and do nice things for me the whole school year because I saved you. You can start by kissing me right here on the cheek and writing me a sweet note that ends with lots and lots of sincere love.
Okay, that's enough, Shannon.
I want to see that.
I'm not going to pass out. I was just in shock, but I'm okay now. I'll count my blessings, though. There's one student I don't see.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, Mrs. Raspberry.
It's still Ms. Raspberry, Jenna.
Big Al.
Al. Mm-hmm. Where is B.L.?
I know you never cared for him very much. He was so inappropriate and talked to you like you weren't a lady. Well, anyways, Mrs. Raspberry, I just want you to know that my daddy made friends with a young, rich millionaire over the summer, and I think you two might really hit it off.
Really?
Listen to this. He's tall, dark, and handsome.
Mm-hmm.
He used to sing in a band for extra money, but gave it up when his business took off.
Uh-oh.
Now, he's a top-rated plastic surgeon. He gives me Botox for free.
Really?
Maybe he can give you a lift or some collagen for free if you start dating him and kiss him and do other stuff.
A lift? Collagen? Well, are you trying to say something, Jenna?
You know, I mean, it's just every woman.
What's up? What's up? Hey, Big Al is in the building. Gotcha. Yeah, I made it to the fourth grade. All you haters said I would never make it, but look at me now. Look at me now. Look at me and look at you, Heidi. If this isn't my sweet little red-headed beauty queen, here, I brought you some first day of school. Now, ladies, I thought you might want to partake in some lunchtime indulgence with moi.
Oh, no. What did I do wrong? I have not committed adultery. I haven't murdered anyone yet. Well, I try not to be envious, so tell me, God, why?
K-Raz, cool your jets, baby. You asking God why he blessed you with another year with me? Some people are just blessed, you know what I'm saying? That's all. No need for explaining that. Now, come here, baby. Let me hug your neck. Oh, yeah, I've been missing you, girl. That feels so good. You smell so nice. What's that scent? Coconut, lime, verbena? That's my favorite.
Get away from me now, Big Al. I would hate to send you to the principal on the first day of school, but I will. Now, class, please, just take out your notebooks and write down the 10 most interesting things you did over the summer.
Sylvia.
Mrs. Raspberry.
Yes, JC.
Do interesting things I did in my home country of Mexico count? Because we had to go and sneak members of my family into the United States so that they can experience the freedom that I have here in the good old red, white, and blue. Some things might have been illegal, but nobody's saying nothing.
JC, it really doesn't matter where they happen. Just write it down.
Okay.
Well, Mrs. Raspberry, what if you can't think of 10 things because you were grounded all summer for cutting your own hair with your plastic alligator scissors? Yeah. And it was so fun that you cut your stepdad's mullet off while he was sleeping.
Okay, just write down what you can think of, Shannon.
Hey, Mrs. Raspberry.
Ms.
What if your 10 things are so over-the-top extravagant that they might make you a security risk?
Security risk?
I'm talking like black diamonds, gold chains, my own private jet, an island named after me, and my very own Lotus that Daddy let me pick out for when I turned 16.
Never mind, Jenna. You know what, class? We're going to spend the day with our heads on our desks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought things were going to be different this year.
Why'd your dad buy you a bus?
Let's get ready for school.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's get ready for school. Let's get ready for school today.
You sure are tall, but you're worth the climb, girl.
What?
What?
What was that? Stupid. You thought what?
I said she sure is tall, but she's worth the climb.
Because you're going to climb up
there. Yeah, I'm in the fourth grade.
I really did cut my hair with plastic alligator scissors when I was younger.
What are alligator scissors? The scissors look like alligators?
They're plastic, and I cut my own hair, and I got in so much trouble.
Wow, that's sad.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
It's a big day today, right, Kelly?
It is a big day, and I'm missing it.
Oh, I feel so bad.
I'm sorry.
For you,
we got to work,
I feel
Kelly.
Bad for me, too.
So somebody's got to make the money.
I know. I'm so blessed in so many ways. I get to pick my daughter up from school every day. That's a blessing. Not every working parent can do that.
Yeah.
But, man, to miss out her first day of second grade in her brand new school.
So, new school, starting second grade today. Emma Kelly is on the phone with us right now. Hi, Emma Kelly.
Hi.
Are you upset with your mom?
Yes.
Oh. I told her yesterday, I said, well, I guess you get to make another memory with Nanny Laura. We're going to start a scrapbook, Memories with Nanny Laura. But that's okay. You understand, right, Emma Kelly?
Uh-huh.
Mommy's got to work to pay that school tuition.
Right.
$15,000.
No, not quite.
Oh,
not quite.
Wow. What kind of school are you going to? College?
I'm saying it.
Are any of your boyfriends from last school year going to be in your class this year?
No.
Oh, no. A whole new crop of boys, yeah, McKelly.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you get to do a presentation to your class today. You've got your bag, right?
Right.
See, inside the bag are little things that she's going to show, like for show and tell, to describe about her life so people get to know her. So what's in your bag? Do a little bit of the demonstration for us right now.
Yeah, practice.
This is Snuggle Puppy.
Snuggle Puppy.
I sleep with him at night.
Okay, Snuggle. She brought what she sleeps with every night. Snuggle
with
Puppy.
With the book, Snuggle Puppy of mine.
Yes.
Everything about you is especially fine. I love what you are. I love what you do.
Snuggle little Snuggle Puppy, I love you. I said. Okay, that's enough.
Okay,
that's enough.
What else you got in there?
Jiminy Cricket.
A what?
Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket. Now, why do you have Jiminy Cricket, your Jiminy Cricket doll?
Because I got him from Kids Trip.
Oh. Right, she's going to tell about kids to the class.
Get some donations while you're at it.
Right.
Yeah,
pass the cup and get some money to help pay for that $50,000 tuition. I'm kidding.
What else you got in there?
Well, and then I have some pictures.
Pictures of what?
Family and Laura.
Laura, on your last first day of school.
Well, you can actually just have Laura there with you. You didn't even need to bring a picture.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I still brought one.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing.
Are you going to tell the kids in your class that your mommy's Kelly Raspberry, dang it?
No.
Oh, okay.
You're going to keep that on the down low?
Keep it on the DL?
I just... Nobody doesn't like me talking about that.
That's right.
And McKelly, what do you want the other kids at school, you know, your new friends and stuff, what do you want them to think about you?
Nice.
That you're nice.
That you're nice. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
Sometimes it's easy to break the ice or to open up conversation with a joke. So maybe JC can help you out with a little joke that you could tell to the class.
Oh, thanks, Hal.
Sure.
Thanks for putting me on the
spot at all.
Do you need a joke from JC?
No.
No, you don't. Oh, fine.
Give her one anyway.
I don't want to tell you a joke anyways. This one has to do with school.
All right, come on.
Let him tell it, and you can decide if you want to use it or not.
All right, you ready, Emma Kelly?
Okay.
What did the buffalo say to his son on the first day of school?
What?
Bison. That's what you call buffalo.
That was good.
Bison.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
It's a good show because it's smart.
Bison. Oh. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
Okay.
What'd you think about it?
Do you like it?
I didn't get it.
Yeah, it might be over a second grader's head.
Yeah, well, go learn about that at school today.
Oh, man.
Please.
We love you,
McKelly. Well, be good for the teacher.
Okay.
Suck up a lot because this is, you know, when you make your good first impression.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take an apple or something.
Yeah, you got an apple?
No.
No apples.
Mirror
all right, I love you, sweetie.
I love you, too.
I'll pick you up at 3, I hope, if I can figure out carpool. It's very confusing.
Okay.
All right.
Bye, McKelly.
See you later.
Have a good first day.
Bye.
Bye.
Emma Kelly's first day of school.
And Emma Kelly and Nanny Laura's
with
first
that level
day
of enthusiasm,
school.
I'm really sad to be missing it.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show.
We jumped on board a new challenge that is going around the nation.
It's everywhere.
And by we, I mean we were all going to do it. I understand the ladies not wanting to do it. I understand that. Totally get it.
Oh, you mean
Big Al, you left your soldier hanging by himself.
Well, here's the thing. I guess you're going to get into what the challenge
we
is.
Did the ice bucket challenge
together.
For ALS. Initially, it started if you don't make a donation to the ALS research, you dump the ice on your head
right.
to at least get exposure for the cause. But now it's morphed into do the ice bucket, still throw a little change at the charity.
And we should.
Yes, sure. We all got messy.
Because you're doing both. You're raising awareness and you're still donating.
Right.
It's the best of both
raise
worlds.
Raise millions and millions of dollars.
So in honor of Robin Williams, a new video trend has shown up. It's called Doubtfire Face. We here at the Kid Craddock Morning Show are taking the Doubtfire Challenge, which is raising awareness for suicide prevention.
Me.
So we're going to honor the late Robin Williams by recreating one of his most iconic movie scenes from Mrs. Doubtfire. We're also going to donate money to the American Association of Suicide Prevention and would like to challenge Harry Styles, Austin Mahone, Karrueche Tran, Chris Brown, Lil Wayne, Drake, Rihanna, Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, also Bruce Jenner, Khloe Kardashian, Kourtney Kardashian, Lil Bow Wow, and Eric down at the deli. Yeah, 24 hours.
I want to make sure one of them will get it.
Maybe one will respond.
Yeah, Eric at the deli.
And it's a fun way. I mean, it's an iconic scene from Mrs. Doubtfire where Robin Williams is not dressed as Mrs. Doubtfire, so he has to disguise himself. So he smashes his face into a cake and looks like he's got cold cream on.
We actually have that scene.
Yeah.
Shannon, will you hit it for me because I can't find it?
Oh, no, dear. I don't need a hand. I need a face. A face.
Are you sure?
Oh, definitely.
Miss Helen? The water is boiling.
Hello!
That's all you got to do. You can use whipped cream. You can use cake, pie, whatever.
And this is to honor Robin Williams, but also to bring attention to depression and suicide prevention.
And you know what? I'm very proud to have done this because earlier this year, and I haven't talked to, but somebody really, really near and dear to me actually attempted suicide.
Really?
And they survived, thank God. But you don't understand what people are going through.
Yeah, that's true.
In their minds. And there's nothing that angers me the most when I hear people say it's a coward way out. Because it's not. They're not thinking right. Depression is such a terrible disease that you literally cannot control what you're doing at times.
Drowning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just want to end the pain.
And so if we could figure out how to take control of this and end this, and so we don't lose people like Robin Williams.
Yeah.
The more the better.
Now let me ask you this.
First of all, I want to know how it went from Alan JC, we're going to do this. They were like, okay, Kelly and Jenna, you guys did the water. You don't have to do it. And I was kind of like, I mean, I will. I didn't really want to do it. But Al was going to do it. And then I see Al like getting in his car
and leaving.
I was going to do it. And I went back there and they had one pie sitting at this little table. And I'm like, well, we're not going to share a pie. We're not
pie
buddies.
Is it unhygienic?
Yeah.
You can't have sloppy pie seconds?
No. No.
What if Jay-Z, what if Jay-Z let you go first?
Yeah.
Well, Jay-Z was already changed into some pink girl's shirt, apparently.
Keep Looking Up shirt.
Al, you were walking out with the Keep Looking Up shirt and you were supposed to change into in your hand.
Yeah, I changed shirts, and I changed back into my other shirt, because I was going to do it. They said, there's one pie. I looked at Kim, our Dish Nation producer. I said, well, there's one pie.
There was two tins.
Don't bring a pie in here now.
Look at that, Big Al Mac.
What do you know? We have another pie right now.
Oh, that is so great.
This is radio.
And you want me to make it for you?
Fresh, ready whip.
Please head on over to kidtv.com if you would like to watch Al take on the Doubtfire Challenge, raising awareness for suicide prevention.
There might be depressed people right now. You're going to change their day.
You're
by listening to you do this.
Will you please wear your vanity glasses when you do
this? No, because they're hard to clean.
Yeah.
They really are.
They're hard to clean, non-prescription glasses.
They just got
to
make it look like you're getting a facial out. You don't have to do the whole, like, smashing it in your face.
Oh.
We don't want your nice shirt to get dirty.
Right.
Don't give the can to Jenna. She's not having a good day.
She won't be able to control it.
Yeah.
She'll go all the way with the can.
Yeah, can I have the can
for the
whip it?
It's for your better.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right, Al, here
Al,
you go.
Is there anything you'd like to say before you do this beautiful thing in honor of Robin Williams and to draw attention to people who are depressed and to hopefully prevent suicide?
Yes, please, y'all, cheer up.
Oh my!
What?
Maybe don't
say anything.
You have to say hello.
Oh, yeah. I think you just do it after.
Don't get it on the microphone.
Yeah, you do it after. You got
to
look up.
How hard it is for me to hit myself in the face with pie.
No, don't hit yourself.
You don't know your hat.
Wait, can I do it?
Robin Williams gently did it.
Can I do it?
Do it. Let Jenna do it. Jenna's willing to do it in your place.
Can I do it just to make me feel better?
I'm going to do it because I don't want to.
Let Al do it. I'll tell you why next.
All right, here we go.
Don't do it too hard. Don't get
exhale when you do it.
He's so scared to do stuff.
Three.
Take it off.
Oh, it's take it off. Space.
Take it off. Why do you look like you have a white mustache now?
Pretty good.
Why did it only end up on your upper lip?
Because he didn't do it thick enough.
Okay, now
there's a better way to do it. See, look at Jason judging your pie.
Well, I didn't make my pie. They made it for me. Here's the thing. I encourage you to use whipped cream. Oh, or shaving cream, I mean, because whipped cream, after you put it on your face...
Shaving cream will burn.
I know, but whipped cream, I could not get that dairy smell after it settles out of...
What is this? Is this the same thing you use?
Yeah, it's dairy whip.
Yeah. I had to shave my mustache off.
Oh, no.
Oh, we didn't notice.
My wife...
Sorry.
My wife wouldn't kiss me because she said I smelled like puke. So well, I had to. I went in there and shaved.
That had something to do with what you're drinking over the weekend, dude.
So do whipped cream. I mean, do shaving
sticky,
cream.
Sticky, isn't it?
Yeah, it's sticky.
Are you getting smell yet?
No, not yet.
There you go, Al.
It's for a good
all
cause.
Right.
Who do you want to challenge, Al?
I'm going to challenge. I'm putting paper towels in my nostrils now so I can get rid of the.
Okay.
Who am I going to challenge? I'm going to challenge.
Dr. Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Dr. Girlfriend and Denzel Washington.
Well done, Big Al Mack.
Thank you.
I respect that.
All right.
Let's move
challenge
on to...
Denzel.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
All right.
Can't wait to see him on YouTube.
I love that. You should do Evan Longoria from Tampa Bay.
Has he done Tampa it? Bay, has he done it?
No.
Has he taken the challenge?
I don't think Evan Longoria is keeping track of what Russ Face here at the office has been up to.
All right. Well, we're trying to shed light on all sorts of problems, and now we're going to do love letters to Kelly. Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I try really hard, Jenna.
I do, too. I think that my six-year-old has officially ruined mommy and daddy private time.
Oh,
she
boy.
Has her own room filled with a princess bed. She slept in it for a while. It was great. My husband and I reconnected physically, and our marriage felt strong in every way again. But over the summer, she took a giant step backwards.
Uh-oh.
And her bedtime tantrums got so bad, we gave in, and she ended up back in our room in our bed.
Oh, boy.
So mommy and daddy bonding time disappeared, and it's like we're strangers again. I feel like I'm going to explode, and I can't imagine how my husband feels after 2 months
probably
of no not. Laundry time.
The
probably
same.
Not, yeah.
How do I get my kid back in her own bed without driving the entire house crazy with her fits? And secondly, how do you get past that awkward stage of getting to know your husband again when you should have never lost touch with him to begin with? Tracy.
Well, you probably need to, you know, take a weekend to get away and do the hotel time or something, but... Either you know, you have to put up with a tantrum. The kid, Emma Kelly, I had to take her. We were having some issues. I'm a single mom. I have a lot of single mom guilt, and I'm not real great at discipline all the time. And she flat out told the woman, I pitch a fit until mommy gives me what I want. But kids know that.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
you
once you
that?
Know that they are smart enough that they're not going to die, watch your kid pitch a fit to the point where they're convulsing and vomiting. And then finally say, it's okay, you can have what you want. Man, don't they stop crying immediately?
Yeah.
And it's just like, once you realize it's more just a psychological game, you just got to let them scream. You got to let them pitch the fit. Start, you know, not beating them to make them stay in bed, but maybe start doing some little disciplinary punishments. Like, okay, we're going to take away your TV show, or we're going to take whatever is important to them.
I feel like I go overboard when my son is being super good. I go overboard with rewarding him.
Yeah.
Because I want him to know, like, look, you're being so awesome right now.
You can do whatever you want.
You do whatever. You can have this because you're being awesome. And it's so hard not to give in when they do temper tantrums.
Yeah,
it's
but
so
that's
hard.
The thing. It's like you can't give in to the temper tantrum. And literally when they, I mean, it does happen eventually. I've seen it work when they realize they can't get their way. The temper tantrum does stop. But, I mean, your marriage is in crisis. Are you going to let your kid win? You're going to have to suck it up and just let him scream it out for a few nights. And it might take more than one night. It might take a week of those nights.
Yeah. Sure. They'll learn. They'll learn.
Husband's okay with that.
He needs it.
Yeah.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
I'm 25. I'm in a somewhat long-distance relationship. My man lives 70 miles away, but comes to me about 3 or 4 times a week. He's up for a promotion soon, and he was asked to attend a meeting with bigwigs of his company in another state. All good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to this. He and another coworker, a female, decided to split the cost of a hotel room. I'm not usually one to be insecure and throw a fit about things, but why does he think it's okay to room with another girl who is his age and could be a supermodel for all I know?
Oh.
I've never met her. I'm mad enough to tell him to cancel his attendance at this meeting.
Oh, tell him.
You can't trust a man ever. Am I just being paranoid?
No, you're not being paranoid.
Paula.
It's extremely inappropriate.
So disrespectful.
And the company shouldn't even allow that. So he is obviously hoping for something to happen.
They don't let us room with girls here.
No, our company doesn't allow
that.
That is not acceptable.
You are right to be... good luck demanding he not go. And the bigger a fit he pitches... the more he's got going on with this coworker.
Yeah, he's hooking up.
That's the thing. Why would a company...
up.
I mean, our company's so lax, you know, in our environment. If any company were to allow it, especially with, like, platonic yeah. you know, relationships we have, no it would company. Be our company, and yeah. they don't. It's not
they
allowed.
They would sometimes have put girls together and guys yeah, together, yeah. but yeah. never a guy and a girl together, ever.
A company would never open themselves mm-hmm. up to a sexual no. harassment lawsuit like that.
Yeah. That means they
So that is strictly on their own. They want to do this. You, it's over. Your relationship's over, girl.
Dang.
Dang.
It is. I'm telling you, try to get him to cancel. The madder he gets, the bigger fit he pitches, he's already sleeping with
Because the company should be paying for both hotel rooms. Send two dudes or two girls.
Yeah.
The girl probably doesn't even work there.
Reality.
Yeah, she doesn't work there. She really is a model.
Don't be a fool, fool.
Life is brutal.
Well, coming up, we got... Oh, I'm sorry.
At least she noticed that this was going on, so that's good.
Yeah, well... She had to ask me about it just to, you know, she just needed validation.
Well, you know what? He gets credit for being honest.
But she doesn't want to break up with him.
Nah.
She just wants to know if she has the right to tell him he can't do it. Right. Yeah, you have the right. You tell him all day.
Go ahead, baby.
You have the
go
right
go.
To say anything you want.
Go sleep with another woman in another room.
The Kid Craddock Morning Show is back.
Everybody say hello to Lacey, the phone screener.
Hello, Lacey, the phone screener.
Hi, Lacey. Hello.
Lacey's the one you get to talk to when you call our show, and she's all like,
what seems to be your query, lady?
You know, and then you tell her, and she puts you on the radio. You got to interview the stars from the new movie, or the movie that's been out, Let's Be Cops. Jake Johnson, Damon Wayans Jr., he's from, they're both from New Girl, and mm-hmm. also Rob Riggle. You've seen him in movies like Step Brothers. He's the guy that did the blow.
Oh, that okay.
Yeah, yeah. That guy.
That iconic
he's been in,
Step Brothers
thing. He's been in Hangover. He also does funny pregame show stuff on the NFL. Let's Be Cop in theaters now. Number one comedy in the country, number three movie overall. Lacey, is this the first time you've interviewed super famous people?
Yes, and I did it solo, which was really awkward. I was so nervous.
I know.
And I was in a trailer with them. So not only did I do it by myself, but I was face-to-face with them, which was fun, but it was so nerve-wracking at the same time. My voice was breaking. I'm all, don't know that I'm an amateur at this.
But you're pretty at home. You're pretty at home in the trailer, though, right?
Yeah, right.
I am pretty at home in the trailer.
Okay. Thanks,
Al.
It is hard, picture. Though. I, we even say that. I remember going and having to go to California and do my first press junket. I'm like, wait, but I don't have, like, everyone else in the room to help me when things start going awry.
It's a lot different when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
So Lacey's in this trailer.
Well, I just have to ask right now before we listen to it, how did you feel afterward? Did you feel sick to your stomach? Do you feel proud of yourself? Were you just relieved?
I felt great.
Oh, good.
The moment that I started questioning myself is whenever I actually had to edit the interview myself, and then I would hear little remarks in the background that I didn't catch up on the first time.
Yeah.
Right.
You'll hear
it's all right.
I'm
it's
sure you
fine.
Did fine.
Yeah. I usually feel sick for days.
We got intel that Lacey started the interview off pretty weirdly. While the guys
this
were,
is great. Don't let me stop you. Please
Damon
continue.
Yelling, suck my bucket.
At least y'all
interviews.
Don't have swamp butt like I do right now. I've been waiting outside for a little bit. So
that's amazing. Yeah. And we do.
Yeah,
So, the guys,
see, swamp butt.
You had swamp butt?
Self-deprecation is a great way to start off an interview with a celebrity, but that's really going there.
What is swamp
butt? Well, okay, the guys...
She's sweating.
The guys were cutting up, and this is a raunchy comedy, so...
Yeah.
A lot of the interview that we did was kind of raunchy, which was bad for me because then we can't air it. So,
right.
I mean, the guys are cutting up at first and they're just talking really vulgar. And that's whenever I interrupted them and was like, hey, guys, I have swamp butt right now because I was just trying to break the ice and I wanted them to be my friend. I knew that they were raunchy. So I'm trying to get on their level.
Right.
By,
swamp butt does
okay.
it.
Yeah. Over revealing swamp butt right there.
Oh, my God.
So then I continued on this interview. Great interview, y'all, by the way. I continued on this interview, and I was trying to ask them questions, but then I kept coming up with my own stories to share, too. So in the movie, y'all dressed up as cops and then decided to take on that real persona in your life and go out and act like cops. Have you ever done anything like that in your real life? Ever decided to act like something you're not?
Good question.
Yeah, professional actor.
Yes.
And I keep fooling all these directors.
I once, back to me, guys, this isn't just about you.
Absolutely.
I once went out and dressed up in a chicken costume with my friend, and she dressed up like an ape, and we got into a fight with each other until they kicked us out. But that's
where
about
at?
All
where,
that I
where,
did.
Where,
at a costume where? Store.
Ah, that's awesome.
At a costume store. So that's my one time I faked it. Yeah.
Funny.
It would have been hot if we were not in costume, but we were in full costume, so it wasn't that hot. So I'm trying to interview them, and I'm trying to share my own stories as well, but I'm so nervous I'm not exactly explaining myself. So then in return, they're interviewing me because they're like, well, what the heck are you talking about?
You took a page out of the Kelly
Raspberry interview.
But see, now you can understand.
Hey.
People think this is the coolest thing ever to get to interview celebrities, and it is cool. but it is scary.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to embarrass yourself, and you end up, the more you think about it, the more you embarrass yourself.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It definitely was a lot of fun, but I'm trying to tell them things and I just wasn't doing a good job of explaining myself. So then I'm telling them little half stories, and then I got derailed once again and totally slipped into Kelly Raspberry energy.
Yeah.
Style.
Yeah.
I felt a real connection to the movie because I just recently turned 30, and that's the moment in your life where you look back and you're like, crap, I wish I would have done a lot of things different. And Ghetto Car, shout out, my AC just went out, so over here, that's great. And I once pinky promised a cop that I would take care of some warrants. So I felt a real connection to the movie, but I also like the inspirational message behind it.
I like how in this interview you keep revealing stuff. Like, the third act of this, you'll be like, well, that was the time I murdered that guy. I was in El Paso. I killed him with my hands.
Pinky promised him I wouldn't.
Does Rob Riggle talk during the interview?
He did talk some. He actually didn't have a lot to say, but the flaw in this plan is...
What's your next... What story did you tell him next?
Yeah, right?
Well, the flaw in this plan is I've seen the movie, they've seen the movie, but I'm not explaining the movie at all, nor am I asking them about it. So I'm using a lot of references.
That's okay. Look at the talk show hosts on the nighttime TV.
Yeah, they do.
They
that.
Never talk about the movie. They talk about everything else.
Yeah.
So I mean, that makes sense. If you watch the movie, he's pretending to be a cop and he lets somebody go after pinky promising that they won't do anything wrong and stuff like that. I'm like, man, been there, done that, and it actually worked. But I'm not quite explaining that.
No, it's a way. I get
well.
It. Hey, if you're nervous, that's fine. It's better to be chatty than to be silent. It's probably refreshing for them to not have to talk very much.
So far, it's going better than the Wiz Khalifa interview.
Way better.
Oh,
way
that's
going to
be
better.
The barometer.
Yeah, right. Better than Wiz.
So the last thing that I did get Damon Wayans Jr. to open up about something that he had picked up during this promotional tour. Hmm. But, of course, I had to try to trump him with my own story as well.
No!
Of course you did.
Now, in the movie, you had a white name, Damon.
What, Justin?
Justin Miller.
I have a cousin named Justin Benson.
It's Benson.
That's black. Yeah, I got black.
And later you went by your Chinese cop name. Was it Chang?
Chang.
Is there any other time that you were given a bad name or a bad nickname?
Recently on this trip, we were doing radio, and this lady named Wanda Smith, she was like, your new name is Daddy Face. I was like, Daddy Face? She was like, yeah, because you look like your daddy in your face. So now they've been calling me Daddy Face this whole time as people have been hashtagging it on Twitter.
It fits.
Yeah. It's a great nickname.
I hate it.
My God-given name is Lacey G, so you can imagine just all the possibilities with my name.
Lacey G? Nice.
Lacey
what
G.
was the what was
yeah,
the,
what's the worst, one?
Worst one?
Lacey G String was just how people would say they remember my name. I always will remember your name because of Lacey G String, and I'm like, that's weird because I'm 12. I'm talking about my parents right now. So.
And you're my uncle.
Lacey! So the best compliment that I got was actually off camera. As I'm leaving, they told me that I was hilarious.
You
are. But then listening back to it, I'm like, I didn't ask anything. This whole thing was about me.
It was different.
Look at it this way. We got to learn a lot of stuff about you.
Yeah,
and that's more important, but also go see the movie because it's really, really funny.
Did you take those chicken wings?
What is the movie about? No, I'm
kidding. Yeah. Who were the guys in the interview again?
Hey, Lacey, I feel you.
Good job.
I can relate.
Good job.
You know what?
It could have been a thousand times worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was entertaining, and they had a good time.
They're my friends now, and that's more important than a good interview.
So I don't know what to call you now, Lacey G-String or Swamp Butt, so I got to think about that. You can watch Lacey's interview at Kid TV. Or KidNation.com. The full interview is up. Enjoy it.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.